has no redeeming value whatsoever.
Am I a talking dog?
Hi, doggy.
And that's very stupid.
Take it or leave it.
This is my house. Allow me to introduce you.
Who are you?
I'm a cop.
My father! I found my father!
F. Dead.
No key. No key.
No more damn boss. No more boss.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to Disaster Piece. My name is Justin.
My name is Steve Ward.
And this is a show about decisions.
Yeah.
It's a show about choices.
Yeah.
The weird decisions and choices that lead to weird pieces of pop culture.
Right.
And today, Disaster Piece is stepping into a realm we've never stepped into before.
Figuratively and literally an arena we've never explored.
It's true.
Yeah. We're doing sports, baby.
Sports.
I feel completely ill-equipped to talk about sports, especially football. Maybe a baseball, maybe a little bit of basketball.
Sure.
I can give you an opinion, but I'm going to say it right up front. I don't know anything about football. Football, it's like any other board game to me where like I get the rules explained to me every time I'm watching it. And as soon as it's done, like the random access memory just gets shut off and I cannot remember the rules of football.
Yeah.
Seven points for a touchdown.
6 points for a touchdown.
One for a field goal.
One for an extra point. Three for a field goal.
That's it.
That's two for a safety.
Wait, three?
Three for a field goal. One for an extra point. Six for a touchdown.
Wow.
Two for if you go for two.
I don't get it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
All right. But you know about football.
I do know about football. Great. And I will say, I do not watch football.
Right.
But I understand football.
Yeah.
I used to play football.
You did?
Yeah.
Like in school?
Yeah.
Like on a school team?
Yeah.
You were on a football team?
I was.
This is huge.
I know.
I had no idea.
I used to be very athletic. I mean, I wasn't like a fucking, 14, 15. I was a running back.
Holy shit.
I was very
what
fast.
Is the running back?
It's the guy who gets handed the ball from the quarterback to make running plays.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's always
because
like,
I'm like a small dude. I'm not a big football guy, but I used to be able to run very fast.
Those are always the most exciting plays you see replayed where it's like the guy goes like 100
and they just
yards.
Break
that
through.
Be too much?
Nope. That'd be the full amount.
Oh, wow. Great.
So yeah, cool. I know about football, and I understand the some of the.
What was the name of your team?
God, it's a great question.
You don't know?
No, I don't, because it wasn't my high school. Because my high school did not have sports.
Oh,
because it was a nerdy school.
You played for a different school, or was it like a little league kind of thing?
Yeah, it was like a summer league. They called me Red because my hair used to be a lot more red back then.
Oh wow, okay.
So I understand. I understand football.
Did you have a memorable play? Like, was there one of those like Al Bundy moments?
Yeah, one time, I was so fast that I would always be the first, like when we did the kickoff, I'd always be the first guy to reach the guy who, you know, was catching the return. And one time I was going and then I turned really sharp and one of my own teammates hit me so hard that I just remember sprinting. I saw the guy catch the football. I was going for it. I cut really sharp, and then I woke up in a chair watching the game that I was just playing.
What?
I'd gotten fully
so it was all a
out.
Dream?
It was all a dream. No, I got hit in the head so hard that I...
You got your bell rung.
Yeah, I got knocked out for like minutes.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's cool.
I also scored some touchdowns probably.
That's cool. Okay, I believe it. You can't stop Red.
You can't stop Red.
Best running back in the game.
There you go.
Yeah.
Steve gets
all
it.
Of Florida.
Yeah, folks, we're talking about football, but not the football you're probably
not
used to.
Not the NFL, not the CFL, but a different FL.
A different FL.
Yeah, it's about as low down on the alphabet as you get for an FL.
Yeah, that's right. And the letter that we're introducing barely even means anything.
Nope.
It more is just the cool letter.
Right.
Folks, it's the XFL.
I mean, it meant a lot in 2001.
Right.
Because this is coming straight out of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Which, you know, a big part of my teenagehood and young adulthood was the Attitude Era of Spike TV and just like everything being fucking edgy.
Yeah.
And the XFL was right there where it's like, NFL's fun, but put an X in front of that. Who knows what the fuck's going to happen?
Now it's extreme.
Right.
Yeah, folks, the XFL, which maybe if you're thinking to yourself like, oh, right, isn't that that like smaller league that maybe The Rock is involved with?
Right.
And wait, am I thinking of arena football? Yeah, this was a couple years ago. Originally, the XFL was a American Football League, a professional sports team,
yeah,
legit, on primetime television for 1 year in 2001. It was a real thing.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
The thing that happened recently, we'll get to that. It's
sure,
honestly a sort of a blip in the history, even
right,
though it lasted way hypothetically longer.
Right, but it didn't make as much of an impact.
No.
And also just, you know, nowadays media and everything just gets lost.
Right.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Movies don't exist anymore.
Totally.
But this was like, there was like, you know, in 2001, most people had about 45 channels, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know,
and also, like,
person.
TV was God.
Yes, it's all you had.
If there was anything on one of the, you know, four major channels, millions and millions of people would watch it.
Right, totally. Yeah.
Especially football.
Right, yeah.
It's the biggest sport in America.
Absolutely.
By a long shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically the XFL was the answer to the question, like, why do I have to wait half the year to watch more football?
Oh,
why is there an off season?
Right.
The biggest event of the year happens, the most exciting thing, the Super Bowl happens usually in February, and then we wait.
Is it the longest season break? Because football seasons are pretty short, right?
Yeah, that's
interesting. They don't play a whole lot of games.
Right. It's not like fucking baseball where they play 9,000.
It's 150 per team or something?
That's so many.
It's crazy.
It's so many games.
Football's like 20, not even?
Yeah, less, I think.
Yeah, crazy.
This is getting to the parts of NFL where Steve and I really don't know what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, like, oh, good.
There's how many boys on a team?
I just found out recently that there's many boys on a team.
There's a lot of boys on a
there's
team.
There's like dozens. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like basketball where you're just running back and forth
yeah,
doing all the
it's
things.
Crazy. That's why there's just so many ex-NFL players.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, yeah, never.
Yeah,
never
and
made
I played
stage
for 2 years yeah, and I kind of just hang out. Yeah, folks, this was the answer to the question, why can't I watch football all the time? But I don't want to watch just football. Because even though football is the most violent sport,
absolutely,
with the most number of injuries,
yeah,
like intense injuries, specifically of the head and brain,
yep,
what if we made it more extreme? What if we intentionally added more violence and less rules
yeah,
to the game of football? Folks, that gives you the XFL.
Hell yeah.
And as we implied, it lasted one season.
Right.
It was a huge, huge move for a big media company, NBC, and the world of WWE.
Right, yeah.
It was a joint venture.
Which makes sense. WWE, that was, now we're like, another thing where they're like, let's take wrestling and make it edgier.
Yeah.
Like, it's already so violent.
Right.
And the stories are kind of not for kids, and there's all this weird drama, and it's like, nah, we got to go even further with it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that was at WCW, right? That was the big alternate wrestling at this time.
Woman Crush Wednesday?
Woman Crush Wednesday. That's some Facebook talk right there.
That's right.
Yeah, I think it was the WCW.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know much about wrestling either.
But it was...
Oh, I'm sorry. I take it back.
'Kay.
It was the NWO, the New World Order that competed against the WWE.
Gotcha.
And they were like the edgier, harder one.
Gotcha.
Right. Gotcha.
But
let's carry on.
But the likes of Vince McMahon and the WWE, which also, I'm glad we did this episode to at least answer one question that's always burned in my head,
yeah,
which is, you know, I have some and one specifically very good friend who's very into wrestling. And sometimes, like, you're hearing about, you know, wrestling throughout like the 80s, the 90s, and today. And sometimes I get really confused. Because sometimes we're talking about, you know, the big one you're thinking about with all the big stars, and it's like
right,
the WWF. And I'm like, right. And then we talk about other things. And it's, yeah, and the WWE. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And it truly is just the same thing. And the World Wildlife Fund sued them for the name, and they became the WWE. I love that fact. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's just it. Yeah.
So the WWE, WWE, it's the same thing. And it was Vince McMahon saying, let's turn wrestling into a fucking spectacle.
Right, yeah.
A show.
Anthem.
There are literal stories happening
yeah,
and big explosive things. The wrestling is almost secondary to just the pageantry of it all.
Absolutely, yeah.
So why don't we bring that to the NFL?
Right, but they didn't bring the story to. I guess they kind
they
of
tried, but it nobody well, caught on.
I guess they the cheerleaders, and we'll definitely be getting into that soon. Yeah. Like if yeah, as far as just personalities go.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you might hear us do this a bit where it's like the promise of the XFL and what actually happened in 2001 are very, very different things.
Right,
and that's kind of the whole story here is that this was put together by two dudes, two huge names in television media, Vince McMahon, the fucking king of wrestling, and Dick Ebersol, who...
Huge.
Yeah. Like, if you don't know the name, you've seen hundreds of hours of things he's done.
Yeah. Responsible for SNL.
Yeah. And also, like, several Olympics. He was the president of NBC Sports for years.
Huge figure in NBC.
Huge figure at NBC. And these two people came together and basically had to pitch to the world that we should have another football league, which they did for a year, and then they got it. And what we got as the viewers was not what we were promised.
Right.
And even if we got what we were promised, was that what we
What were we promised?
What were we wanting? We were told that the NFL was actually the No Fun League.
Right. This is this is where the name comes from, right?
Yeah. And the XFL, Extra Fun League.
Can I just get regular fun? Where's the Goldilocks amount of fun? Because I got no fun.
No fun or
extra fun.
Explosion fun.
I just wanted a normal amount of fun. The fun that's just right. What's not fun? I mean, football's really fun, right? People say, I mean,
it is.
Does the NFL have like a bunch of rules that it seems like, well, that's the least fun way to play football? Because I feel like the NFL rules are just the rules that carry over into high school football.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I assume that every other form of football is probably less fun than NFL. Because I assume in high school you're not allowed to hit each other as hard. Probably, right?
Yeah, but there's probably some stuff. No, I mean.
But college ball, that's the same.
I mean, here's the thing. They were like, here's the answer to the thing you guys have been begging for when nobody was begging for it.
Right.
Football was huge and everyone loved it. But they had to have a pitch.
Right.
This whole thing is the story of an incredible pitch, or at least a convincing one. Not that the pitch was great, but that the way they sold it. They spent a year in 2000 selling to the world, selling to media, selling to themselves, because NBC got involved and were now like, this is our thing now. And they had to convince everybody that this was going to work. This was going to be worth the millions of dollars that need to be pumped into it. And yeah, their main thing was just Vince McMahon, who can turn, he can fucking sell anything.
Yeah.
Like, he sold the idea of like, wrestling to be one of the biggest sports franchises in history.
But what was the pitch? Like, what was the extra fun?
It was mostly vague. They had a couple specifics that they always referred to, most of which was really silly.
Sounds like a recent failed presidential campaign.
Yeah.
We promise it's better. What are the specifics? I don't know.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
We'll figure it out when we get there. And we never got there. One of the main things that they had when they were talking about, like, NFL's got too many rules. We're going to be way less rules. It's going to be a lot more punching and smacking.
Okay.
Smash mouth fucking football.
Smash mouth football?
Yeah.
All-star football.
That's literally what they... Yeah, they always use the word smash mouth a lot, which I barely knew was a
Wait,
phrase.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's an actual...
Like rough and tumble smash mouth football.
But smash mouth was already huge at this time. That must have been so confusing.
I guess maybe the phrase, whatever it originally meant, still was holding. But one of their main things that they pointed to was that they were not going to have any fair catches in their game, which, Steve, you might not know what that means.
You're correct.
If my team's kicking off and the other team is potentially going to catch it and try to run it down the field, if I'm going to catch it and I can see the fucking defensive line coming at me, and I give a fair catch signal, which is just me waving my hand. When I catch it, the ball stays. You can't tackle me.
Okay.
Because it's a super dangerous part of the game.
Right.
I'm just standing there waiting
You're
to catch the thing. And there's people charging at you as fast as they can. So if you do a fair catch, you cannot be tackled. They said, no more fair catch. If you catch that ball, you can get pummeled immediately. That was their main thing.
They're just like more injuries.
Yeah. Straight up.
Okay.
One of their other big things that they were doing is they say, look, football's a fun game. It's people smashing into each other. But we start every game with a coin toss to figure out who's going to get the ball first. were taking out the coin toss, and they replaced it with something called the scramble. Which,
like a duel.
Basically is what it was, is they put the ball at the 50-yard line. They took the two, they just said, like, pick your fastest boys. They put them on the 35-yard line. They just, like, there was, like, a whistle. They charged at it, and it was just, like, fucking who can get it and hold on to it. And they just fucking like dove at it and beat the shit out of each other, tried to hold on to it.
That's kind of fun.
Apparently, it was very fun. And in about 60% of scrambles, there was a serious injury.
The majority. All right, great.
Yeah. So that's the kind of thing they had where it was just like showmanship of like, fuck coin tosses. That's for pussies. Now we're doing the scramble. And it's like, yeah, maybe on paper it's fun to watch people sprint after a ball instead of doing a coin toss. Don't think about the logistics of it. Don't think about, like, it just immediately was just like, ooh, we have to stop the game. That guy broke his leg.
like, we need guys just to do the scramble.
Yeah.
We need a scramble lineup.
I mean, straight up the whole pitch for the XFL just kind of feels like a Donald Trump pitch of just like, we need to go back to when men were men. Right. We need to have everything, you know, it's got to be big and American and ballsy. It's got to be explosions.
It's similar to our buddy Rob Ford, who's like, the Leafs would have taken the cup if they just bodied more people. They slammed into people more. But we don't do that nowadays.
It's honestly funny that they didn't just pitch like hockey meets football, where it's just like, yeah, after a play, throw off your fucking mitts and go punching.
All right, so you can clobber people when they're catching the ball. You have a no coin toss. You do a scramble instead. Were those the only extra fun bits?
Well, they had some more fun bits that they had to basically make up on the spot.
Really?
As they're pitching this league, they get months and months into their pitch, and they still don't have any players signed, no coaches, no teams, no team names. They even when they first started, Vince McMahon started pitching the XFL, no TV contract. This is before they got signed up with NBC. And they basically just started like occasionally throwing little things. They already started having like TV spots on campaign months before the first game. Didn't have any players.
Yeah, any players, any teams, no team, nothing. No.
They got their players in December 2000. The first game was February 3rd, 2001.
Holy shit. Wow. And they had to learn all these new extremely fun rules.
Yeah, the new rules.
They weren't used to it.
And crazy plays where you can like hit somebody with a baseball bat. If you
really?
No. But I was reading this thing where people were saying like, the hype and the vague promotional material for the XFL made people so like curious and excited for it. They literally, people were saying like, it was a complete rumor that was based in nothing, but people started to be convinced that like players were going to have metal chairs they could hit each other with and shit.
I remember when the ads were happening and like when this thing was launching and like not like kind of being aware of it and like that's going to be like wrestling and football or like, I remember thinking it was going to be like the football and Starship Troopers.
Right.
Right. What they call laser ball or whatever they call it.
Yeah. And like no helmets or anything.
Yeah. Like a small arena where they're doing backflips and shit.
Right.
But no, it just seemed like, I remember it happened. It's like, that looks like football to me, but the ball's red and black.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was mostly it. Let's take it back a couple decades. Got to talk about how Vince McMahon and Dick Ebersol came into this strange partnership. Especially because it seems unlikely, because Vince McMahon is like pretty controversial figure. He's also like became a television personality. Like he's the one singing fucking like Get Ready to Rumble. Like
he's the main character.
Yeah. There's still fucking memes of him all over the place. They get used all the time.
He's one of the most famous memes in history. The chair, mind blowing. Yeah.
Right. And fucking Dick Ebersol is like a respected like NBC executive. And then these people not only made this partnership with the XFL, they were very good friends for many years. So Vince McMahon, as we already talked about, he basically is the guy who revolutionized wrestling. If you're unfamiliar, you know, WrestleMania, Saturday night main event, all the stars you're thinking of, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant. Then we have the New Generation, The Undertaker, Bret Hart,
baby.
The Attitude Era, Stone Cold Steve Austin and Mankind. And it was all because of Vince McMahon putting his heart and soul into the WWF/WWE. And this is when he got his relationship with NBC at first. And it was through this relationship that he developed an even more important relationship with Dick Ebersol, who, as we mentioned, an important figure in the history of NBC. He actually got his first job in his 20s at NBC as the VP of late night programming, which is how he basically helped Lorne Michaels helm Saturday Night Live in its first seasons. He was also brought back to help reignite it in 1981 for a few years, known as like the Eddie Murphy era. He was the one who was like, that's going to be our star.
Yeah.
Just do him, because SNL was sort of not doing as hot. Also, in the 80s is when he started producing wrestling events for NBC with Vince McMahon, and they developed a very strong friendship. But he couldn't do wrestling forever, and he went back to other duties at NBC after a couple years. He served as the senior vice president of NBC News and then the president of NBC Sports in 1999, which was huge because this is when NBC was sports. In his early years in the role, he basically made NBC the only channel you needed to watch sports on. In the 95 to 96 season, the World Series, the Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, and the Summer Olympics were all on NBC.
Wow.
It's literally all.
Yeah. I mean, it was known, right? I mean, the NBA and NBC, the famous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know shit about sports, and I know that song.
Yeah. It was fucking huge. He was involved in multiple Olympics, several Super Bowls, including Super Bowl 43, which at the time was the most watched television event in history.
Wow.
153 million people. Now it is the second most watched event in human history. In 1998, though, things took a turn. NFL wanted more money from NBC to be essentially one of their sole distributors. They asked for $500 million. For the rights to broadcast the NFL. And so Dick was like, this doesn't make sense. Even if we're the only people broadcasting it, for $500 million, we'll probably lose $100 million a year. That doesn't make any sense. NFL went with other options. CBS got the AFC. Fox got the NFC. And suddenly, NBC would have no football for 5 years.
Oh, damn.
This was like a bad loss. No football.
Yeah.
Not even just like the Super Bowl. No football at all. Which is why they started looking for an alternative in 1998 for the fact that they had no more NFL. And happenstance, at the same time, Vince McMahon is already cooking something up. His pitch of, why don't we have another football season when NFL is on hiatus? On February 3rd, 2000, Vince McMahon announces in a big press conference the plans for the XFL. They don't have a TV contract. They're not talking to NBC yet. He goes on TV and says, 1 year from today, it's February 3rd, 2000. On February 3rd, 2001, we will have
one
our
year
first
from today.
Pickup. 1 year. And they don't have anything. And they have to make an entire,
badass. Holy
entire
shit.
New sport, an entire new league.
Well, it's not an entirely new sport. It's like,
brother, there's no fair catch and there's a scramble.
We got two new rules, everybody.
That's right. And it was here that Vince McMahon said his famous line, NFL is the no fun league.
Right.
Dick Ebersol is over at NBC. He's watching this press conference live. His old buddy is, you know, talking about how he wants to make this XFL. They're looking for a new sport thing. He says, get me Vince on the phone, and says, Vince, do you have a TV contract yet? And Vince was like, we're talking about it. And he says, don't sign anything. Let's meet up. 6 weeks later in March, it was announced that a full 50-50 joint venture between the WWE and NBC was to be created in order to run the XFL. So now we have like 10 months.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
To put a team together.
Right. I guess you don't have to build stadiums, right? I mean, they're going to play
They're going to use other stadiums.
Sure. Okay, so that's not. You got to get some uniforms, some helmets.
Right.
Right.
And they got to, you know, convince. It basically was like, we'll figure out that shit. We got to convince people in 10 months that you have to watch this thing. Because they're used to like, on average, like 50 million people watching a football game.
Getting the players isn't that big of a deal either.
Right.
It's just like colleges are full of them.
Yeah. And the people that got rejected by the NFL.
Yeah, totally.
Come to us. So they start to get to work.
This one guy's great. He just can't flip a coin.
Don't worry. He makes a mean scramble.
He always picks heads and he always loses.
One of the first things they started promoting months ahead of their first game, before they had any players or team names or logos, were the cheerleaders.
Ooh, yeah, this shit's crazy.
Nuki, play that clip.
The eyes of a lady, they speak volumes. An intense and restless soul that searches for...
Whoa, mama!
The XFL cheerleaders, coming to NBC. Don't worry, we'll teach them how to cheer.
I mean, this is so... like, of the era of the man show and, like, just this second wave of misogyny. This, like...
Yeah.
It's so
I mean,
bad.
We're like 2 years out from the Hooters airline, which had similar promotional material. Like, absolutely. These ladies are going to take you to the Mile High Club.
Good.
Like, this one's like on primetime NBC. Maybe you'll see a little bit of side boob. it's so gross looking back on it now, but it also like makes so much sense.
Oh, man, this is when, you know, we were all running around dripping Axe body spray, and it was just a very, very weird time.
Weird time. Vince also apparently started encouraging cheerleaders and the football players to date.
I heard about this.
Yeah. So if during a game a certain player would like make a mistake, like fumble the ball, the cameras would rush to the sideline and talk to his girlfriend and be like, what happened? Did he not perform well in bed last night?
Yeah, and that's originally when I was reading about this and I was like, oh, they're going to go and like, one, I thought maybe they're going to force the girl to break up with the guy if he fucked up. But then I'm like, oh, they're going to just like embarrass him. But then the question was like, yeah, like or did you guys fuck so good last night that he's like off his game today?
Is he just so good in bed
that
he couldn't catch the ball?
Yeah. Did you suck this guy's talent out through his dick last night?
In his huge monster dick?
Yeah.
I always love when like toxic masculinity turns gay. It's my favorite thing where it's just like, God, it's just like, God, dude, you're so fucking manly. I want to suck your cock. and this is also around, like, we're still like 6-7 months out. They don't have any teams still, but they start promoting. They have one commercial, and they start promoting the idea that there's going to be no fair catches, which the main like motif of this is shown on screen by a guy catching a football and then a wrecking ball hitting him and him getting launched off screen.
Okay.
In this commercial spot, there's also tanks on the field shooting
explosions. That too. Yeah, it's like, which again, you're just setting such crazy expectations.
Yeah, that's what they were doing.
This isn't a time where I can just go Google what is the XFL actually going to be. It's like, oh, wait, is it going to be like gladiators?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. No, like the ad spots and Vince McMahon's like general fucking air about him that this was going to be.
You associate him with theatrics.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you think this was going to be the way it is?
Right. Just fucking pyrotechnics every second of the game. Instead of, once again, trying to organize the teams and the players and all of that, they went to getting announcers because NBC.
Yes, that's a big deal. Yeah, of course.
It is. It also because NBC, even though they're half this venture, they were pretty smart in being like, we kind of want to separate our like serious sports commentators with these people. You know, like we're not going to have Bob Costas doing this. Also, he outright refused and openly talked shit about this franchise for its 1 year of existence. The main person they had, their main commentator, Governor Jesse Ventura.
Right.
Famed wrestler and actor. And at the time, sitting governor of Minnesota.
Sitting governor.
He is currently governor, and one day a week on a Saturday, he goes and announces a game. He's the main dude that they got for it. It's now June. They still have no stadiums, players, coaches, all of that. Some inklings that they were not going to be ready to do this huge thing started to come out. NBC was basically relying on Vince and his partner to make it all happen, not realizing that he was basically winging it the whole time. It's like, how do we make a real sport but live up to the, it's totally different from the NFL? They take a big swing. They had this like big moment where they're like, we still have to keep convincing people. And now the NFL season is starting up. We have to take a swing. They buy a big blimp that looks like an XFL football. And it's got the big XFL logo on the side. And they're going to fly it over an NFL game, a Raiders-Dolphins game that's happening in San Francisco.
Okay, like it's like a prank?
It's like a... You guys are watching NFL? Come check this out. So, like, basically what looks like a giant XFL football is going to fly over the stadium. Pretty ballsy move. Did it work? Well, it did make headlines because it fucking crashed into a seafood restaurant.
Oh, no. Is everybody okay?
Everybody seemed to be okay. Nobody died.
Bounced. Crashed into a seafood restaurant.
It crashed off the shore and was just laying there. So all the film, like all the news coverage of it is of it deflated and crashed into the side of the bay. In December, they finally held a boot camp in Las Vegas to get some fucking players. We have 2 months till kickoff.
Holy shit.
And they did what we said. They got a bunch of young talent who was good in college but not good enough for the NFL.
Right.
So it's kind of like a second chance for these guys. I watched some interviews where they were like, most of them were like, I was so excited and
of course,
I had
a
great time. I got to play on national television. in a pro sport.
Yeah, well, for the first time in like history, there is an alternate to the only other move after college ball, which is the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no Olympic football.
Right.
You know, like there's nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just be on your own practicing football with a coach. It's like have to be on a team.
Of course.
And there's only the handful that the NFL have allotted. Also, same with coaches. There were like a bunch of coaches who were like, I've always wanted to be an NFL coach. I don't know if I'm there yet.
Right.
I get to be a head coach.
Of course. And there's like far fewer coaches than there are players. Like that's got to be a real like.
Yeah. That's like a
feel
real
game. Good. Yeah.
So now they have 30 days with players now on teams to get everyone ready to play their first games. We have 8 teams, so a lot less than the NFL. It's a tight little league. Did you look at all the
names?
Do you have a favorite?
Oh, yeah, the Orlando Rage.
The Orlando Rage is pretty amazing.
I like that, and like then the New York/New Jersey Hitmen.
Yep, just murderers.
They're all good. We'll go through them all.
I mean, Las Vegas Outlaws. Pretty fun.
You know what I like? The Memphis Maniacs with an X at the end of it. More fun.
Also, Los Angeles Extreme.
Yes, that's the worst one.
I know. That's the cheesiest one. San Francisco Demons.
Pretty good. And Chicago Enforcers is weird.
Birmingham Thunderbolts.
Yeah. Again, that feels just like a regular team.
That's a normal team.
But yeah, you can't beat the Orlando. Like a team that's just named after like an emotion. The Orlando Rage. A concept.
Yeah. The New York Depression.
Yeah.
Yeah, the New York / New Jersey Hitmen is so funny.
Yeah, it's weird. I guess that's supposed to be mafia thing.
I guess adjacent, yeah. I mean, yeah, Sopranos has been out for a year or two now.
Oh, that's why. That's probably it.
They also, once they had their players, announced that the players were not just going to be paid like they do in the NFL, where most of them get a fine wage, but a handful of them get like fucking $200 million
right.
contracts. It was going to be merit-based.
Whoa, okay.
So if you won more games, you would get paid more. So payers, I did some research. Seems like it was about $4,000 per game.
Okay.
And if you won, it's an extra $3,300. So you almost double your salary if
your
if
team
you won.
Won?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you won every game, you'd almost double your salary of
Holy
a
shit.
Team that like lost every game, which, you know, there's some like fucking like video game part of my brain that I'm like, that totally makes sense. And also, that's fucking shitty, especially because it's such a team-based game that it would encourage you to be fucking, like, you'd be pissed at your teammates if they had a bad game instead of just being like, it's all good.
And I feel like that's got to be, I guess there's always incentives, but, like, it feels like it should be illegal. Like, you're being hired to do a job, and this is, like, one team's going to win and one team has to lose. It's not like, it's not like everyone can meet their quota.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that can happen. And, like, the teams that do meet their quota in the office will get a reward. The ones that don't. It's like somebody has to not win.
Right.
It's not fair.
50% of them are not getting paid the full amount.
Holy shit.
Which, is pretty weird. But also sort of feels like this sort of wrestling motif of this, like, not that, and that's the thing, is part of this is now we're coming up on our first game. The XFL is getting ready. And it's, you know, it's most, the thing you can compare it to most is professional wrestling. So people were already being like, so is it going to be fucking scripted? Do we already know who's going to win?
Yeah, sure.
Are the Outlaws versus the Hitmen going to go up against each other and who can kill the most people?
Right.
So this idea of just like, no, we're going to pay the ones that win more. So it encourages them to actually play blah, blah, blah. But it feels gross. Feels a little weird. Also, as a part of this whole like, we want players to have more of their own personality, because that's one of Vince McMahon's other talking points, was like, in the NFL, you can't stand out. You all have to just wear the uniform and be your own person. You can't do anything fun. So all of the XFL players got to pick their own names that they would have on their jerseys. And
that's
that
cool.
They had to be
okay.
picked by.
That's a little extra fun.
We had Deathblow. We had Ox. We had RP2. We had Teabagger.
Teabagger?
Yep.
Wow.
And then the most famous XFL player that sort of became like the face of the XFL, a guy who went by the name He Hate Me. Which the idea was, he was so good that anyone he played against, the guy who tried to tackle
he hate me.
That I ran past, he hate me.
That's cool.
It was like the sort of the bad boy, and everyone apparently loved it. Like the only jerseys ever sold were He Hate Me jerseys.
Because
people were like, this guy's badass.
Very fun.
It's February 3rd. It's time for our first game, Steve.
Good, thank God.
It's primetime on Saturday on NBC.
Right.
Let's fucking go.
Just before the Super Bowl, I guess, or just after, maybe.
Yeah, probably right after is their goal.
Right.
Yeah. First things first, we have, they always had like a main game happening that they'd actually broadcast on NBC, and then a second game happening that they would just then cover later, not really.
Oh, wow.
Like kind of just like showing the highlights because they'd be playing at the same time. Their main game was being played in Las Vegas. It's completely sold out. Apparently across like all their games, they'd sold like nearly a million tickets.
Wow.
Like, I mean, it was like $25 a pop, which probably helped, but that's $25 million. Vince McMahon walks out into the field, something that apparently NBC did not know was going to happen. They thought like once it started, he's like the president of the league.
Sure.
He's not the face wrestling. He comes out, he gets on the mic and just starts screaming. And he says his famous line that would be sort of like the famous quote from this, which is just, ladies and gentlemen, this is the XFL. Pyrotechnics go off. It goes crazy. It's funny because the name of the 30 for 30 documentary about the failure of the XFL is called This Was the XFL. Got him.
Go, boy.
This is when they introduce the famous scramble.
Right.
They do it. Everybody's like really excited. Across the country, there's another game going on. I think maybe it was happening in Florida somewhere. The players did the same thing. They were doing the scramble. They ran for the ball. They put their two fastest guys on it. They both dive for it. One of the guys doesn't get up.
Oh, fuck.
Huge injury. He's gone for the rest of the season, which there was only
the rest of the XFL.
The rest of the whole history of the XFL. And yeah, like we said, the scramble was the most dangerous part of the game.
Yeah.
And the second most dangerous part was the kickoff because there was no fair catch. So their two main rules made it really dangerous.
Oh, my God.
A pretty amazing thing about these first games of the XFL is that it actually did something pretty innovative, but it wasn't for changing the fucking rules of football,
right?
Because football's been played at this point for like a century and we know how it works. It's not naked cheerleaders. It's nothing like that. It's they changed how we now watch football in terms of how it's shot.
Oh, okay.
So the XFL, even though this piece of technology had been around for a while, it was never really utilized in professional sports. They were the first to every game they would use the sky cams.
Oh, yeah.
With like on the wires,
right,
and they could literally track it like that. One of the main guys in charge of like the NBC broadcasting said, yo, have you guys played this fucking Madden NFL like football game? Like the game for the PlayStation 1 and stuff like that? He's like, this is how kids watch football now. It's like kind of like top down.
Oh,
we should use
so
this like
smart.
New technology.
Yeah.
And these are for every game. And now every single NFL game for the last 25 years uses this technology.
Oh, wow.
They also introduced a crazy addition, which is cameramen with Steadicams essentially on the field.
I saw that. And they're wearing gear, right?
Yeah.
They have like helmets and masks on and shit.
And they're like in the plays essentially.
And that doesn't happen now. Right,
the people. Yeah, now people are like running along the sidelines with their Steadicams.
Right,
but these guys were on the field.
Holy shit!
Like closer than the refs were.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and they would like. There were plenty of times where they got hit by players.
Yeah, but it got in the way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also was the first time that we mic'd up players, which now is like.
Oh, we do that now?
Yeah, not really like one person is something they'll do that for special events, but
right.
Just the idea of like a mic catching what people are saying on the field. For a long time, it was just like you hear them yelling.
Right.
But now it's like you can, like, when you watch NFL on Fox, you will hear the, you know, the quarterback being like, blue 52, set hike, and you can hear what's happening.
Gotcha.
Also, miking up players off the field, which now they definitely do,
oh,
when
shit.
They're like off and they're like talking to each other, just like, we got to get them in the second half, man.
Oh, gotcha, right.
Because they were very much like, we're making a show, not a sports game.
Right.
So we have to mic up our actors. By the end of the first half of the first game of the first season of the XFL, apparently everyone knew they were toast. both games that were happening were just not good. Like, they were bad football games. They were, like, dropping balls. They, like, weren't catching anything. It was moving way slower than the NFL. Like, below college football, even.
Holy shit.
And nobody, except for a few, very few set of players, really understood the weird, like, showmanship. Like, the he hate me,
right.
He kind of got it.
Yeah.
And he was, like, kind of, like, making himself, like, I'll be the villain. Fuck it. But everybody else was just like, I just wanted to play football.
Yeah.
And a lot of the coaches were really, like, we're not going to do any of that weird rule shit because I don't want my players getting hurt. So they were like actively fighting back against Vince McMahon's whole thing.
Well, that's not the XFL.
They just wanted to do the NFL. Exactly. But then something interesting happened. Even though it was not good football and everybody was just like, I don't know if this is going to work. A lot of people watched it that first night.
Sure. Yeah. It makes sense.
It had over 50 million viewers, which is pretty crazy numbers. That's more than the number of people who watched the series finale of Friends.
Really?
Yep. Not as much as Cheers, but I mean, no, it's hard to touch
that. Oh, more people watch the end of Cheers?
Yeah.
Than Friends? That's heartening.
And I think MASH still might have the most. Oh. MASH had like over 100 million. But like a ton of people watched it. It was like a 10.5 in the Nielsen rating, which probably doesn't mean much to anyone. It barely means anything to me. But that's really, really good.
Right.
But now it's week two. They know they're not going to achieve those numbers again. But apparently for that first game, they were only expecting 25 million. And they got over double that. So they're like, okay, well, if we can get like 20 million, we'll still be happy with that.
Yeah.
For week two, they get The Rock to now be a part of it. He comes out and starts doing like the Vince McMahon primetime thing. Can you smell what the XFL is cooking?
That's all he had?
He was still doing that for years. It's also when he's got his weird hair moment. Yeah. And he's wearing those tiny little Morpheus sunglasses.
Right. Yeah. Vests, right? Leather vests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the second game, it's feeling pretty good. And apparently in the first quarter, the game's actually going a lot better.
Okay.
Like
we're having fun.
We're having fun. We're making good plays. The extra fun is here. The extra fun league is here. 13 minutes in. It's the week two. This is when it's really going to matter. People are apparently pretty into it. 13 minutes in. The live feed for NBC goes dark.
Fuck.
The power goes out in Los Angeles. This is where the second game is happening.
Oh, shit.
And for a few minutes, there is dead air. They put up eventually the, like, we'll be right back signal. And it took them far too long. Like, I mean, not a terrifically long time. Like, literally, like, maybe 5 minutes before they realized they could switch to the B game that was being played in Florida.
Right.
But they waited too many long minutes, so people switched the fucking channel, obviously.
So was this NBC's fault or the XFL's fault.
So Vince and Dick and all these people have different theories about it. Apparently what happened is that the really nice generators that NBC had bought, which like powers all of the like camera equipment and the live feed and everything like that, somebody didn't put gasoline in the generators. They were all dead.
Do you think it was the NFL?
I think it was the CFL, dude.
The CFL did it? Yeah. Yeah, watch out for those Canadians. It's the Hamilton Ticats coming down.
That's right. Yeah, the generators shut off. There's no power. It's dead. They eventually switch over to the B game.
Game is still going on, right?
So they paused the game.
Oh, wow.
Which is a problem for a few reasons. One, people in the stands just have to watch for like 25 minutes. They try to figure it out. They are literally dudes from NBC out in the thing siphoning gasoline from cars to put it in the generators.
From the parking lot?
Yep. And while this is happening, this is a big night for SNL. This is Saturday night, like 8, 9 p.m.
Oh.
They're having this primetime game. SNL has to go on at 11:35.
So they can't. Oh, whoa.
And obviously, Dick had a relationship with Lorne Michaels.
He must have been so conflicted.
It literally is what happened.
His old best friend.
Yeah. This is straight up what he was put with. And apparently, for the remainder of the next couple hours, he had just had an open line with Lorne Michaels from New York. Of just him being like, if you don't fucking end your game before 11:30, like, what? We start at 11:35. We have to. That's what we do.
Dude, so, they should have done this instead of that Saturday night movie.
Yeah.
This is what Jason Reitman should have done. This is like a way better story.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So it takes 25 minutes for them to get back. So now they're like 30 minutes delayed.
Right.
They finally get the main LA footage back online. But pretty immediately after this, a player gets crazy injured.
Right.
And it takes about 15 minutes to like get him off the field and get everything ready to go. The game keeps going. And it turns out, unfortunately, even though this is what they needed right now, they didn't. It's an amazing game.
Oh, no.
It's going back and forth. One team's in the lead. The other team gets a field goal. Now they get a touchdown. They're going back and forth. It's suddenly 11:30. Jennifer Lopez is waiting to go on. She's sitting in her green room, and the game is still going on. It goes into overtime, and they have to keep the broadcast going. So they go to overtime. It's now 11:40. They're playing.
Whoa.
The game goes into double overtime. They both score a touchdown. They have to go to double overtime. It's not until after midnight that finally, as soon as the game ends, they cut. Apparently, SNL had already just started taping around like 11:45, 11:50. Oh, just because they were like, we can't have these audience members here till 2:30 in the morning. Right,
they're going to be tired and shitty. And
yeah.
So they just like started the playback. Wow.
Yeah. And so people were tuning into SNL and came to see an XFL game and were just like, what the fuck is this?
Whoa.
Crazy.
So, wow. I mean, also being like much more of an SNL nerd than a sports nerd, that must be like the only time.
I was trying to think about it.
Because I know they've played it on a delay before. I think like when Andrew Dice Clay hosted, they put it on a delay because they didn't know what he was going to say. And it was like a minute delay.
Right.
But this has to be the only time that it was like fully delayed.
Yeah, like 30 minutes delay.
Yeah, and that they played what they were playing was pre-taped by 15 minutes.
Right.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Damn. Pretty crazy.
Lorne Michaels must have been pissed.
Yeah, apparently there were like people who were like in the box with Dick, who just had an open line with Lorne Michaels, and apparently it was not pleasant conversation.
And it was Jennifer Lopez?
It was Jennifer Lopez.
Dang.
2001, baby.
Dang.
And so this was a thing where like they got what they wanted, which was good football. Because that's what, after the first week, everybody was just like, hey, you promised us a crazy new kind of football. And what we got was basically the same kind of football, but worse.
Yeah.
Like you changed two rules.
Right.
And occasionally you would cut to cheerleaders, maybe slightly more than you would normally.
Right.
And the football was bad. Second week, we got good football, but it's the wrong time and wrong place.
Yeah.
People are pissed. They had a big technical failure, which led to like half their audience clicking out. Over the next few weeks, it's looking really bad. Ratings are low. People are skeptical that this thing's even going to last more than a season. But Dick and Vince sort of need it to, because they had already, like, their contract was for 2 years, two seasons. And they, like, had to make NBC money.
Right.
So Vince finally convinces them to be like, let me do the thing I've been wanting to do, which is, like, make it go full WWE. Like, more boobs, more people yelling at each other. They started letting Jesse Ventura just go on the field and start yelling at the coaches on mic. And if they would just like, these professional coaches who are trying to work would just be like, I can't deal with this right now. I have to do a game. And they're like, this fucking wuss is running away from me, from Jesse the Body Ventura.
Wow.
They brought a camera into the cheerleaders' dressing room.
Dude, this, oh, so do you know the full story of this? Did you watch this clip, this sketch?
Like when Rodney Dangerfield comes out?
Yeah. This shit is crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's weird. It's like they obviously make this promise that they're going to go into the locker room.
Yeah.
But then realize that you can't do that. And that, like, even if we're in the Attitude Era and this is like a really misogynistic time in general, is like, you just can't get away with that.
Right.
So they tease it like seemingly most of the game.
Yeah.
And then they then introduce it doesn't make any fucking sense because they're hopping between timelines. Right. They introduce the cheerleaders who are on the field to the cameraman who is going to go into their locker room.
This lucky guy is going to get to go in the locker room.
Which they are not in right now because they're all on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like, let's do it. Then they cut. So it's Vince McMahon introducing them to this lucky guy who's in a full like riot gear because he's one of the Steadicam operators. They cut to the locker room, and Vince McMahon is already there, waiting outside the locker room. And this is after a commercial break. Then the camera guy comes running in, and he's like, why are you so late? So once again, what happened?
Right.
Is this before the game now? Is it after the game? He's like, why are you so late? He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so nervous. And Vince McMahon, like, loses his fucking mind. Because he's like, what do you mean you're nervous? You can't be nervous. It's so weird. It's so overacted. It makes no... It's just like, let's get there and think of a way to extend this.
We
have another commercial break. They have another fucking commercial break. They come back down. Vince McMahon is like, you got to do this. The cameraman's like, fine, sure. He runs towards the doors, knocks himself out. He instead of going through them, I guess they open, they pull, not push, and he knocks himself out. And Vince McMahon's like, what's going on? Then we go into the cameraman's dream, which is him dreaming being in the locker room. And the locker room is very much like a like what a dream version of a women's cheerleaders locker room would be. And it's pretty chaste, and it's just strange. And there's a bunch of strange imagery in it. Mm-hmm. And at the very end of the hallucination,
who
the
comes
dream,
out the shower?
Rodney Dangerfield, who does like not even good Rodney Dangerfield bits. Gotta say, looks pretty good with his shirt off.
Yeah, he looked all right.
For Rodney, for a guy his age.
Especially in the 2000s.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. This is like, he's pretty old here. So I was very surprised. Like, that looks good. And then the camera guy wakes up. And that's it.
It's so
that's
crazy.
Our look into the locker room.
Yeah.
And it's very obviously a set. It's very like Twin Peaks-y.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all kind of like steamy and foggy. And
yeah. there's weird shit going on and yeah. like, but it's just so, it's right. so fucking weird.
Yeah. But it was clearly just for like in full hour. They were like, and
yeah,
come back for us going in the locker room.
Right. And they also keep talking about it as a shameless bit to get ratings up.
Yeah. They're at this point, they're very much.
Ratings suck. And they're showing you the stadium, and you can see there as they're showing you the cheerleaders on the field when they're first getting introduced to the cameraman, they're really like not trying to show you the upper deck of the arena because it's completely empty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, first game totally sold out. This one less than half.
This is the second game?
I think this is like three or four when they started Jesus. Doing the cheerleader thing.
Wow.
But to put it in context, 10.5 Nielsen rating, which is pretty good
sure.
for that first game. This game where they did the cheerleader thing, 1.7.
Fuck.
That's
a lot.
Pretty steep.
Yeah.
They had other tricks up their sleeve. They had a hot tub full of strippers from a local LA strip club. Put into the end zone.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Also, what?
And they had strippers?
Yeah.
And okay. then and they were obviously not naked.
No. Just in sort of swimsuits. They're just trying stuff. And yeah, like Steve said, they literally like Vince McMahon to the cameraman is like, go get us better ratings. Go get us better ratings. Like they're doing like fun tongue in cheek, like sure. we know we're bad, so we're gonna be even worse. But it doesn't fucking work.
No, and this is where it really feels like wrestling.
Right. No, it's like full soap opera level, absolutely. Like sketch comedy written God, by non-comedians.
It is so crazy that like you got Vince McMahon mm-hmm. and like one of the greatest, most prolific producers of NBC, and their move every time is like ratings. We need ratings. I don't know, boobs? We can't do boobs. The promise of boobs? Maybe you'll see a boob. Like, that's all they got.
Get us a big star. Rodney Dangerfield. And all of this is leading up to their version of the Super Bowl, the $1 million game.
The million? Did the winning team get $1 million?
I think so.
Okay.
I think that was the pitch. It was between the LA
split
Extreme.
Between 50 people.
Yeah.
Not bad, I guess.
Yeah, it's something. Between the LA Extreme and the San Francisco Demons. The stadium isn't even half sold for this either. Nobody really watches it on TV. The first season is over. And Vince and WWE think it's going for another season, but NBC at this point is confident they do not want to be a part of that. And technically, NBC is on the line for $50 million for a second season. Ooh. If, you know, because they're 50% of it. And if right. the other 50% said, no, we still want to do it, they're on the hook for it. But Dick, his old friend, he gets Vince in a room and says, brother, I love you. This isn't working. Let's both pull out and call it a day.
Right.
15 years later, in the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, they did get Dick Ebersol and Vince McMahon back together in a room to sit down in a restaurant and reminisce about how the XFL went wrong. There's actually a really touching moment in it because let's not forget, you know, this is a weird partnership. It's like this very respected guy and fucking Vince McMahon. And then they have this really, really tender moment. Nuki, could you please?
We did such a good job of selling it. It still rankles me that we didn't pull it together.
I'll say it for you.
Yeah.
It was my fault.
No. It was our fault. No, it was our fault. I have this sense still, which I know annoys some people in the press, that you and I would not give a second thought to. They used to think, how can Dick say that this is the best partner he ever had? Well, you were. I felt that so strongly. I said to my wife, I want to put Vince in the will to watch over our kids if anything ever happens to me. And I still feel that way today.
Glad a compliment coming from you. Thank you. You're all the same about you.
Isn't he like a maniac? I mean, that's really sweet.
So that's the thing. It's a very sweet moment, but obviously we still have to talk about Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
In his he's most like a recent years.
Billionaire maniac. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like just a lightning rod of controversy.
Yeah.
And this is recent.
Yeah. This was like 2018, maybe okay. this documentary came out. And then Vince's legacy is going to change.
Yeah.
We don't need to go completely into it because, we'll just say it here. Fuck Vince McMahon. And right. not just for being like an obnoxious guy or whatever. He's been accused of a lot of things and is currently under a federal probe for allegations of sexual assault and sex trafficking. He's now retired from the WWE for obvious reasons. He's had a wild career, but yeah, he's like a piece of shit, sexual predator, and an insane person.
Yeah. His wife is part of the Trump administration now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and his daughter's now maybe running the WWE or something.
Oh, really?
The whole family is wild.
Interesting.
Dick would go on to continue working for NBC until 2011, when he then retired, and was at the time, he had produced 8 of the 10 most watched events in television history.
Whoa.
Just compare these two guys.
That's crazy.
And just this unlikely friendship.
Huh.
That, you know, back in like the 90s and the 80s had a real genuine spark about them making television together. Yeah. And they tried again in 2001 and it failed.
Couldn't do it. Too much fun.
Too much fun.
That's my diagnosis.
The story is not over. In 2018, Vince McMahon announced that the XFL would be returning.
Hell yeah, baby.
But this time it's just a different kind of football. No more of the wrestling stuff. They just promised it was going to be faster. The games are going to be quicker and faster. It's going to be simpler. And it's just more football in the offseason.
And be 0% woke.
Not woke at all. They start their first season back. 5 weeks into the first season, COVID-19 hits.
Oh, man.
They have to stop the season. And they don't pick it up again until 2023.
Yeah.
3 years later.
Oh, shit.
And at this point.
They didn't go have like a bubble in Orlando where they played all the games.
Yeah.
At the
you'd think that, yeah, like Vegas or, yeah, they could have had any place, but no. The Rock and his wife would actually make another appearance in the XFL and they would purchase the rights from Vince McMahon for $15 million.
That's it?
For only $15 million.
That's
and it basically is they merged it with the IFL, which is the Indoor Football League.
Oh. Is that like laser ball from Starship Troopers?
It's as close as you're going to get. There is, like, they do get slammed into the padded walls and stuff. That's like what, honestly, XFL should have just always done that.
Yeah. That's like what I always imagined it being.
Right.
Like indoors and crazy.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like it should have been what the Harlem Globetrotters is to basketball, where people are like doing flips and shit.
Right.
But it wasn't. It was just slightly worse football and people got hurt more. But not in a fun way. Not like they're fighting. They just hurt their ankle. Now the XFL in its current iteration is basically under the UFL.
What's the UFL? United Football League?
Yeah, the United Football League.
The unfun football league.
It's high-level minor league football.
Right.
And folks, that's the history of the XFL.
Are they not currently playing games?
No, last I saw it was like 2023. They were like, we're getting ready, but now that's over a year ago. So
right.
I don't know what's going on with the UFL or...
Yeah, The Rock is out there desperately trying to save his acting career.
I mean, yeah.
Just making, you know, just keeps making movies on Netflix that apparently everyone in the world watches.
Yeah.
According to Netflix.
According to Netflix.
Yeah. Justin, we always put these things on a disaster scale.
Right.
From 1 to 10, 10 complete... total disaster. One is like, hey, that wasn't so bad. Why are we even talking about it? The XFL, the 2001 single season of the XFL. Where do you put it on the disaster scale? How many yards does it travel up or down the disaster scale?
Steve's trying his best, guys.
The second, I don't know.
It's hard to find nuggets of good in this.
Sure.
It's mostly bad. And I think the instinct to be like, hey, there's just these like couple giant forces. Can't we have something else? Can't we have some options? It's like the Zune trying to take on the iPod.
Right.
Just saying like, what if there was another option? Like, yeah, it's good to have options.
Yeah, for sure.
To come at it from this specific angle, which also like, I think maybe you and I might feel similar where it's like, they didn't make the extra fun league.
No.
Like, they should have made fucking laser ball if you're going to do something different.
You know what the extra fun league is?
What?
It's watching football on Nickelodeon.
Right.
That's a little bit of extra fun.
Yeah.
Just crammed in there.
Totally.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, like, did you ever play NFL Blitz?
No.
It's a video game where it is basically, it's essentially the pitch of the XFL, where it's just a football game, but it's just ridiculous.
Right.
And like after the game, you can just like tackle each other and do ridiculous. And it's just like, feels like what the promise of the XFL was.
That's my problem with fantasy football. Is like, it's not a fantasy.
Right.
It's just like, well, wouldn't it be cool if these guys were on this team this year? It doesn't, I mean, even take out like Dragons and like having Batman on your team. Like, I hear fantasy football, I'm like, well, okay, Dan Marino, OJ Simpson, you know, this is the only two football players I know. I got to get one more. Doug Flutie.
Sure.
Sure. I don't know. Maybe he was a CFL guy. I have no idea.
No, I agree. I've always been like, fantasy football sort of promising me a little bit more than
yeah,
what I'm
it's
getting.
Just, it's just called alternate football.
Right.
Yeah.
Personal football.
What if football?
Yeah.
Right.
So the promise, I think like one of the few things you can say is that they put on a hell of an ad campaign.
Sure. Yeah.
They got a record number of people. I think like when it happened on that Saturday, it was like one of the most watched like primetime things for like, I don't know, it was a very specific, like that, a Saturday slot or something like that. And then one of their later games was considered the lowest watched primetime sports event in history.
Wow.
So they had a full spectrum because the promise was so big and the, yeah, you know, what they made was so bad. But I was about to say nobody died, but people got hurt.
Yeah, but that's football. That's football. Like,
I mean, yeah, it's a pretty silly sport overall. I think I'm going to give it 8 scrambles out of 10. Just 8 solid scrambles, and 5 of those 8 resulted in a hospital visit.
Hey, so. Okay, cool, great. Yeah, you know, I agree that there was definitely a promise made here. I think, if anything, the problem with the XFL ended up being the promise of, like, we're going to do this in a year.
Yeah.
Which, and I get the moonshot, sort of like, let's give ourselves a deadline, we can do it, but, like, that's a huge lift to, like, start a new league of football. And I feel like if they just took their time and developed it a little more, made sure the players were clicking as teams, so the games were exciting, and then just thinking like, well, if this doesn't go well the first couple of times, what are actual things we can do to get people to watch
right. This?
Like every, you know, have a big halftime show every time. You know what I mean? The first year of it, it's just always a big
There's
band.
Always
it's like
fucking
every,
Nickelback is playing.
Every game is the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like shit like that. We're going to have a bunch of confetti at the end.
Yeah.
Something like that where you could just be like reasonable things that aren't just like boobs.
Yeah.
To get people to come back. And I feel like, yeah, maybe 3 years of development, you might have actually been able to take on the NFL or at least, if not surpass them, just survive as
yeah.
another league.
Just be another option.
Has this happened? Has there been another league that's just come along and challenged one of the big There's no.
I mean, this used to happen back in the day, like in the 50s.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah just like other baseball leagues would pop up.
Yeah, because there's nothing else. I mean, I guess the WNBA is more popular than ever.
Yep.
Right now, mm-hmm. which is maybe the best example for it.
Sure.
But yeah, so I think, you know, it did all go wrong. I think I'm on the same page as you, and I'm going to give this 8 downs.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that right, folks?
Yeah.
Write me. Send me a letter. Let me know if that was right. Comment if that was a correct football term. 8 downs out of 10. All right. I guess that wraps it up. That's the final touchdown. It's the game point. Match, set, win us.
Match, set, win us. Put it on a bumper sticker.
That's it. We want to thank you all so much for listening to this. We do this for you. We do this because we love you. Thank you. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, anything you can do to share this show and help it grow. We truly, truly appreciate it. And if you love this show and you want to learn more about our live shows, which happen once a month in Brooklyn at a great bar called Wonderville, you can follow what's going on with those shows at disasterpiece_movie_night on Instagram. And you can also follow when these episodes are coming out, which is when, Justin?
Comes out on Monday, baby.
Every Monday. We want to thank Ryan Patterson for our theme song. Thank you, Ryan. We got to thank Nuki for producing.
Woo!
Nuki, you're the one.
He's and our just, mascot, baby.
He's our. That's right. He's our mascot. We throw him around like a little football every now and again. He likes
he
it.
He likes it.
He likes it. Justin, if people want to get in your end zone. If people are looking for a little unnecessary roughness with you, where can they find that?
Folks, they can find me 4th and inches.
4th and inches?
4th and inches on the internet. Go to justindodd.rocks. You can find out everything I'm doing. Maybe I'll post a picture of me as Little Red.
Oh, yeah. We got it, dude. Okay. I'm going to call it right now because I'm going to force you to do this. In the slideshow that we always put up for this
in a game
on Instagram, you will right now, if you're listening to this, you'll be able to see a photo of Justin on Instagram as Little Red.
Little Red.
The running back.
Steve, what position are you playing on the internet today? Is this giving us a lot of credibility?
I think so, yeah. The position I am playing on the internet today is Predator. No. The position I'm playing on the internet today is Guy with a Website. And that website is stevejhward.com. All my sports highlights are up there, and you can go check them out anytime. thank you so much for listening, everybody. And until next time...
I tell you, when I played football, I got no respect at all. I shared a locker with a mutt. Yeah, I was the quarterback, and it was rough. I kept falling in love with the center. Hey, where's my wife? I can hear my wife. Where is she?